Sports.com.
It's time for the most knowledgeable and informative show based around the world of professional wrestling. Thought we weren't supposed to use that word anymore. OWW Radio, with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Wojcik.
It's not my fault I happen to be charismatic.
Along with the loudmouth assassin, the Spud Guy.
I just act that way to get chicks, dumbass.
The resident Aussie, Mace.
I am not going to lie to these people just because it makes them feel good.
Guest starring Kevin Scott as Jamal.
What it is, my nigga, are y'all chilling for shit?
What? It's time for OWW Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Online World of Wrestling Radio. We are brought each and every week to you by the one and only Wild Talk Radio Network. Our numbers, if you wish to call in at any point during this excellent program, it's 267-297-1397. Or if you are a part of the Skype network, which hopefully works, thank you, MSN, you type in Sir and Rockin' Add the God of Internet Radio, and you can join us. Due to a family emergency, our special guest, Jessica Havoc of WSU and the Dropkick Divas, will not be with us this week. She emailed last minute notice. Said, okay, cool, relax. So she'll be here next week. Also scheduled for next week is Allison Danger, who is going to be at WSU's Uncensored Rumble 4, which we may be watching. We're not 100% sure yet. We do have a guest in the works for 2 weeks from now that is going to blow people's minds, but we'll save that for later. Mace and Spug have joined us again this week, as always. Well, Mace will be here this week, but we'll address his issue, a good issue, very good issue. We may be joined by Scott Fishman of the Miami Herald. We may be joined by Jamal himself, Kevin Scott, if his gallstones allow him to join us. We're going to open our show up with a special contributor to us that we're honored every time he has been here. He is the co-author of the WWE Encyclopedia, which if it is not in your collection and you're a dad, grab your wife and say, see this big book? I want this. It is the definitive word in wrestling. Brian Shields is joining us. Thanks for taking time tonight. We really appreciate it.
Oh, guys, listen, as always, it's my pleasure to be here, and as always, thank you for that awesome intro.
Yeah, it's always fun to have you here. So we had to switch the format around because Miss Jessica's not here, but we did find out the folks in Stanford apparently listen to our show. Now, I don't know if Brian's telling them, you got to listen to these guys. They rock. Between Wrestle Talk Radio and Online World of Wrestling Radio, they got it going on. If you're a regular Wrestle Talk Radio listener, you know that Spug, Mace, Omega, Tim Stein, and Sorokin had a great debate series going. And it
Until someone rigged the ending.
No, J.J. Dillon rigged the ending when he said Bobby Brain Heenan should win this thing no matter what. I was just doing J.J. Dillon's work. Okay, so here's what we were going to open with, and it's the main reason that Brian is here, because he is one of our two resident historians, along with Graham Cawthon of History of WWE. WWE.com has decided to publish a list counting down the top 25 managers in WWE history. The list criteria is measured by a manager's ability to get the crowd to react. Now, let me preface this with the list. Bear in mind this list is strictly for managers who performed in WWE. So, no Playboy Gary Hart.
Rigged.
No J.J. Dillon. because JJ did work for WWE, but JJ was office and office only. So let me buzz through this top 25 that Matt Stryker is saying, quote, a great manager is someone that can incite the emotions of the WWE universe. This is 25-1. The genius, that's right, Lanny Poffo makes the list. Marlena, Michael Hayes, Armando Estrada, Teddy Long, the late Oliver Humperdinck, Stephanie McMahon Helmsley, Harvey Whippleman, the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase, Slick, Vicky Guerrero, Paul Ellering, the late Miss Elizabeth, Paul Heyman, Sonny, Mr. Fuji, Jim Cornette, the one and only Arnold Skoland, Paul Bearer, the Grand Wizard Ernie Roth, Sensational Sherry, who is no longer with us either, neither is number 4 or number 3, which are Captain Lou Albano and Freddie Blassie. Number 2 is the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, and who else are you going to put at number 1 but Bobby the Brain Heenan? So, to Brian, because you helped build this tremendous book, which is available anywhere you go to a bookstore, when you hear that list barreled off, is your immediate reaction, yeah, you guys got that right? Or is this like the top 50 of all time DVD they recently put out going, yeah, you're about to stir the hornet's nest with the fans?
Well, you know what, guys, I actually think it's a little bit of both. I think when you have a list like this, it's great because it gets fans talking. And that's what this latest list has done. You know, when I look at this list, overall, I'm very happy with it, just as a fan. You know, there's one missing here for me, and I'd love to know what you guys think about it and what your listeners think about it. You know, it's a little bit old school, but, you know, Wild Red Berry. I mean, you know, what Bobby Heenan was to Hulkamania in the 80s, you know, Wild Red was to Bruno Sammartino in the 60s. I mean, if you're able to check out any of the interviews, promos that he did on TV and listen to the audience react to him, it's unbelievable the reaction that he gets just from his mere sight. I mean, and just for people that aren't familiar with him, I mean, he represented, you know, the likes of Gorilla Monsoon, the Fabulous Kangaroos.
Good night, Bubba. Love you.
Hans Mortier, Toro Tanaka, Bull Ramos.
Oh, shit. My bad.
It's okay. Welcome to Online World of Wrestling Radio. We say goodnight to everybody.
Well, you know, that's why we're live. But, you know, exactly. So for me, when I looked at this list, that was the one name that I felt was missing. And maybe I'm just a little sentimental. I would have liked to have seen Miss Elizabeth in the top 10. But, you know, overall, it's a good list.
And one of our regulars in the chat room, actually a new friend, Jackie Fye, said Vicky above Marlena and Stephanie McMahon equals BS. So, yeah. When you first hear this list, Mace, are we fine with at least the top 3 of Heenan, Hart, and Blassie, and maybe 4 with Captain Lou? Because when you look in the 80s, the late 70s, 80s, that's pretty much who is running the show for a while there.
I refuse to comment on any WWE list. It's all about who is sucked up to the company, and it's always, as we've been saying for the last few weeks, it's rigged, it's a sham. That's exactly what those WWE lists are. They're a sham.
Yeah. And let's just see here. Hall of Famers, we've got Heenan, Hart, Blassie, Albano, Sherry, The Wizard, Skolin, Fuji, Sonny recently, Ellering's in, DiBiase's in, but he's in as a performer. Humperdinck not, unfortunately, would have liked to have seen him in before he passed away. Too Spug. Anyone in there that you're scratching your head going, yeah, you were really good, but how the heck did you get ahead of so-and-so?
I don't understand why Vicky, Stephanie, and Marlena are on that list. They're not managers. They are valets.
Well, so was Miss Elizabeth. She was a valet, wasn't she?
Yeah, but okay, Miss Elizabeth is an exception simply because she was the first. She did things and transcended. You know, she set everything up for all the others to come after her.
Yeah,
so I can, Miss Elizabeth being on that list, I can, I'm perfectly fine with. But there's no reason for Stephanie or for Vicky to be on that list.
And well, Jackie in our chat room is saying Stephanie caused some of the greatest moments in WWE history, along with Chris Jericho and The Rock in their storylines. And
whoa. Stephanie didn't create Jack. All she did was go out and get her tits done. It was Jericho and Rock that made the entertainment. Please do not get that wrong, people.
Yeah, and being the ass end of a joke, being the ass end of a punchline in a promo, is way different than creating a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Macho Man Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth created a moment at the end of Savage's match at WrestleMania 7. Mm-hmm. Hogan and Warrior created a moment at WrestleMania 6. Hogan and Andre created a moment at WrestleMania 3. Austin and McMahon created a moment on a Monday Night Raw. Those are moments. You know, those were created by people. Stephanie just happened to be the unfortunate punchline.
I want to ask this to Brian, because Jersey Girl's asking it in our chat room. She's kind of surprised that Renamero Sable's not on this list. Is it because of the stuff that Brock Lesnar did on his way out of WWE? I mean, she was there for Mark Marrow and then other stuff, but you know, you've got, as noted here, you've got, for the ladies, you've got Sonny, you've got Miss Elizabeth, and you've got Vicky Guerrero and Stephanie McMahon and Marlena, the former Terry Runnels. So, defend or destroy Sable on this list.
I have to tell you, I'm also surprised that she's not on it, especially with the criteria that's been given. The reactions that she got from the crowd, regardless of what year or, you know, stint of hers we're talking about in WWE, was, I always thought, was excellent. So, you know, that's another one that if there's a list on here, you know, she should be on it.
But she's not a manager. She's one of these people that falls more into the valet category than a manager category. Plus, not to mention, Vince likes to hold a grudge. So as I said before, this list is based on your standing with the company more than anything else. But, hey, we're not the ones making the list. Is there anyone else that you believe should have been put on this list? Off the top of your head? Either one of you?
I can't think of anybody. If you're gonna go, I really wish they wouldn't have just limited it to, people who appeared in the WWE, because, you know, there's so many great managers other than the top four or five they have on the list. I mean, look at it. You had to dilute it to include Stephanie, Vicky, and Melina, so that you could fill out 25.
Well, if this list is everybody, then let's. Okay, we had J.J. Dillon. Obviously, J.J. Dillon goes somewhere in this top 25. Do you list Paul Jones, who was a staple of the Crockett's and Georgia Championship Wrestling? Anyone have an objection to him?
Well, I mean, I think you would have to. I mean, I think that's a great conversation is, you know, who would be in it if it was open to beyond WWE. I mean, to me, the names that you listed should be there. You know, Iskandar Akbar should definitely be there. I mean, you know, there are a lot of great managers beyond WWE. It's, you know, it's just that, as someone said before, you know, WWE made the list, so.
Well, what about Dutch Mantel? I mean, Dirty Dutch Mantel should be on there. He's not.
Well, he was Uncle Zebekiah. If fans don't remember, he was involved with the Blues back in their WWE heyday, which was around WrestleMania 10, 11, 12, which are the Harris twins, if people are really wondering, scratching their heads, going, who are those guys?
He managed JBL for a while.
Yeah, when JBL was doing
Justin Hawk Bradshaw.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, this is one of those lists that you could sit here and scratch your head. Well, let's just, if you've got your say, because Teddy Long at 21, he in WWE managed Rodney Mack. And if Brian can help me, I don't remember Teddy managing anybody else but Rodney Mack and Jack.
I
don't know if either one of you can.
I thought he managed D'Lo Brown for a short bit.
Yeah, Jersey Girl just mentioned that Luna Vachon's not on here because she was part of Bam Bam Bigelow for a while. Jackie Feist is saying, so the way this list is going, what about Sapphire, who managed Dusty Rhodes during his polka dotted WWE stint. I mean, this could get interesting really quick here.
I think it just did once Sapphire gets thrown into the mix.
Sapphire.
Absolutely, baby. She sold out for the mink coat and everything else. Because
and the other thing too, I mean, how do you guys feel? I mean, you know, and your audience as well. I mean, you know, does Virgil, you know, get some sort of at least honorable mention in a list like that? I don't know.
I think
that's tricky.
I think when you boil down to it, and you're WWE, and we all know this, and we all hate it, has this short-sightedness where they don't look past their own borders. They've acquired every other video library from any major wrestling promotion located within North America over the last 40 years. They own everybody. The AWA, they own the WCW library. They own everything. So I don't understand why, if you're going to put this list together of the 25 greatest managers of all time, why the hell you can't include Dutch Mantel, J.J. Dillon, you know, is it because they didn't work for you and weren't on your product? Or was it because you want to snuff everybody out and make people believe that if it's not WWF/WWE, it never existed?
Yeah, because just remember, Spug, before anybody else chimes in here, the list's criteria is measured by a manager's ability to draw, to get the crowd to react. So you're looking for a heel heat manager. Gary Hart did that so well in World Class, and then when he was in Florida for a while, he managed Muda and Terry Funk in the old NWA before it became WCW. JJ, when we had him on, he even talked about it. I don't know how I did it, but I drew heat by being with those guys.
Paul Heyman.
Absolutely. Paulie Heyman. In WCW and ECW.
Yeah, you have Paul Heyman. Jimmy, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. You know, how, I don't understand how you can just overlook these individuals.
And Jessica just brought up Stacy Keibler and Trish Stratus. I don't know, Mace, do you consider Trish and Stacy during their WWE time as managers, valets, or arm candy, so to speak?
I put them more in valet / arm candy.
Or in case of Trish,
wow, those boobs.
Yeah, we're men, and as we like to say on here, so sometimes the hormones will take over and we'll go, hey, look at that. No, Amy Dumas, no Lita, which makes Omega very happy because he wishes if Lita didn't exist, Omega's joke list would run out. So, I mean, is that a slap, too, because of the issues that the Hardys have with WWE, Brian, that Lita's not here?
I don't really know. You know, someone brought up Trish Stratus before. I think for both of them guys, just in my opinion, that might be because they may have gotten their beginning that way, but because of the, you know, the great performers in the ring that they became, that, you know, maybe the thought was that, oh, well, you know, they're really divas and they're former champions and, you know, they're not on this list because people really think of them primarily as, you know, as performers in the ring and former champions. The one thing that I did find interesting about the list, I would have preferred Captain Lou at number two, just because I think his longevity and the reactions that he got as both a good guy and a bad guy were just unbelievable. And, you know, I don't know how great a standing he ended with WWE, which is why I bring it up. I mean, he is in the top four, deservedly so. But if you watch that Greatest Managers DVD, you know, some of the comments made about him, I'm not sure how he ended things there. You know what I mean?
Uh-oh, Jersey Girl. I want us girls to say one time on WWE.com, oh, penis, or oh, someone's got an erection. For all the TNA the guys get, we girls should get some more skin. Yeah, look at that. That's Jackie Fice saying that. Look at all the fun Shawn Michaels had in Playgirl. You know the ladies supposedly read that publication.
Okay, take a look at the roster of the WWE. You have... what, an average of at least 7 males to 1 female, most of the males walking around in tight little trunks or, you know, tights with their shirts off, with their abs and everything. You girls get your John Morrisons and your Randy Ortons and that, the pervert. Let us have our very few women that actually appear on the show.
And your little Jimmies. The little Jimmies are there, but we'll talk about the little Jimmies later. We'll talk little Jimmy later
and
on.
Little Julie's
Hill. Yeah, little Jimmies and Julies will be making probably a pay-per-view debut soon.
You know, the Jimmy thing is a little bit more ghetto than people realize, and I'll expound upon that when we get into it.
Yeah, now, as Brian mentioned, there was a WWE DVD that was put out a few years ago. I don't know, another one of those, let's make some money, which is, you know, which is good from time to time. In the book itself, as I said, I've seen copies of it. Is there a specific area in the encyclopedia that focuses on managers? And if so, how did you guys handle managers when you set up the publication?
We don't have a special section dedicated to managers per se. The managers are listed in there with everybody else, you know, as their own individual entries. And it was based on their impact on WWE. For instance, Captain Lou has a full page dedicated, you know, Bobby Heenan as well has a very large entry. So, you know, that was what we were doing there, was just, you know, how... in the history of WWE, how big were these managers and, you know, what kind of an impact, you know, did they have on WWE? Like Bobby Heenan, for instance, has almost three quarters of a full spread, which is two pages.
Wow. Yeah. It's just weird when you go over this list again. You know, to see, it's interesting to see, because Humperdinck was there right around the original Survivor Series managing Bam Bam, and wasn't there, I don't think, on the, you know, maybe, I'm 36, I don't know if Spug and Mace even remember seeing Oliver Humperdinck show up in WWE. So it's just weird to see him on this list. You know, and it's one of those lists. Go ahead. Go ahead, Brian.
Oh, sorry, guys. No, I mean, he was there with Humperdinck, and then I think he returned to manage the new head shrinkers.
Oh, okay. So he was there with Fatu and Sione back in the day.
I think so, like early 90s, mid-90s.
Okay.
Guys, can you confirm that?
I believe when we talked with Samu, he mentioned it a few weeks ago. I can check the website during the break. It's like Graham Coffin's got a history of WWE. We've got a huge one at AllInWorldOfWrestling.com that we can go to and go, yeah, there it is. But this is just, I mean, to backtrack to the tail end of this list, from 25 to 20 alone, you've got Humperdinck, Teddy Long, Romano Estrada, Michael Hayes, Marlena, and the Genius. Now, when we had Lanny Poffo on, he said he enjoyed being a manager, prefer to be a wrestler. Oh, okay, Sorokin is telling us the New Wild Samoans were Fatu, Samu, and the Tonga Kid. That's who Sir Oliver Humperdinck managed. So, and Arstrada's here for a while. Okay, fine. Well, maybe Armando's on this list because he just showed up to manage Tyson Kidd for a cup of coffee. I wish I could explain some of this stuff. You mentioned to me earlier this week, you have an appearance that you're getting ready to do. Can you talk about that real quick with the fans?
Sure. I got we just booked another History of WWE event at the Freeport Library on Sunday, October 2nd. It's another 200 seat house here on Long Island. And, we're going to be, ready to roll with, another multimedia presentation with DVDs and, just taking people through the history of WWE. And then we have a Q&A session, followed by then a book signing. So it's always a great 2 to 3 hours with fans of all ages.
Yeah. Ooh, Jersey Girl just asked an interesting question we can use as our exit. With anyone on this top 25 list, who do we want to see in the Hall of Fame? Well, for me, oh, are you serious? On this Thursday, Superstars, Tyson Kidd will have another new manager. This time it'll be fellow WWE Superstar JTG. Okay. Thank you, Sir Rockin, for that one. In my book, the obvious is Miss Elizabeth. We talked about that with the passing of the legendary Randy Savage. Miss Elizabeth should have been in there a long time ago, and in my view, and I don't know how Spug or Mace feel about it, she should have gone in long before Tammy Sitch, Candido, whatever you want to call Sonny. I don't know how either one of you feel about it.
Well, of course we'd like to see Miss Elizabeth in there. That's a given, to be honest. Somebody remind me if this hasn't happened. Paul Bearer.
Nope, not in yet.
Well, then put him in there.
But do you put him in strictly as Paul Bearer, or do you acknowledge his world-class stint as Percy Pringle?
It's WWE. They will go straight for Paul Bearer and Paul Bearer only.
Interesting. Okay, Spug, anyone off the top of your head as we wrap this segment up that you can think of that you saying must be Hall of Fame? If you had the pen to open up the doors of the Hall of Fame.
I would agree that Elizabeth needed to go in there long, long, long before Sitch. And same with Paul Bearer.
Anyone else you can think of, Brian? I mean, you've seen tons and tons of people through your archival work with this wonderful book that we keep having you back to talk about. Obviously, is Miss Elizabeth got to be the number one choice of everyone on this list that's not there?
Well, I think you guys have already hit the nails on the head here. I think Miss Elizabeth, before any of the other names, Paul Bearer, without a doubt. I will go back to the old school mention of Wild Red Berry just because of the influence that he had on other managers. And I do want to say very quickly, I'm very happy that the Grand Wizard made the top 10. Sometimes I feel like, especially with the younger fans or the more casual fan, that the Grand Wizard doesn't get his due. But I mean, he was just a tremendous, tremendous manager, and another one where, you know, I tell people all the time, YouTube him, check him out on WWE.com, whatever you need to do. But I mean, he was just tremendous.
And if you are a follower of Twitter, you can find Brian under Mighty_PennSword. History of WWE Encyclopedia is currently available on Amazon. I believe it's for sale on the WWE website. And don't forget that date in October, which I'm sure we'll have Brian back on at some point. Thanks for stopping by. Coming up after the break, Triple H has been rumored to wanting to rehaul WWE Developmental. Well, we're going to help him out here. We're going to talk WWE's developmental program with FCW and Ohio Valley Wrestling and anywhere else we've gone. All in World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be back.
You could make grown men gas when you go walking past.
Are you looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50. That's right, 50. Unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish. It's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein. You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. I mean, it's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you himself if he were here tonight. I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a...
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement. We get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. You suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ tells me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. He stayed with her every night, constant, wild sex. You know, it's sad when they had to break up because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. Not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Hawk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next. Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Hawk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with WrestleTalk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio, or anything goes. Or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talkie Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
This is Alicia from WSU Wrestling, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thanks to Brian Shields, the co-author of the amazing WWE Encyclopedia. If you have a dad or a friend that's a dad, get him the book. Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you each and every week by the Wild Talk Radio Network. Also our friends at Click Wrestle On Demand, which is the official on-demand site of Online World of Wrestling. Each and every one of our programs can be found on podcast there, along with wildtalkradio.com, along with iTunes. Spug and May staying with us here as we move to a topic that I came up with after watching this past week's FCW TV and making my friend Jack, my new friend Jackie, who's going to be doing a podcast with Graham Cawthon, going, "You get to watch that?" And I go, "Welcome to living in Tampa Bay. They're on TV here every, I believe they tape on Thursdays, and then the show airs Wednesday night and on Saturdays as well." So I wanted to bring this up because a couple weeks ago we had had the note that Triple H, Spug's husband, for new listeners, yes, they're married. I just don't think Mr. Lasek knows it.
Neither does Stephanie.
Oh, and that, do the and three that kids know?
That restraining order is not going to stop me.
All right. Now, if fans aren't aware of it, Triple H has taken a office role now and is doing developmental and signing new talents, such as Karma, who unfortunately is with child, and that's another story in its own right, if you follow the interwebs.
By the way, I want to ask you. I want to ask you this, and I really kind of want to put it out there for discussion. Was the whole Karma fiasco, I mean, with her getting pregnant and having to leave after all that setup, can you look at that signing as a failure? I mean, would you consider that signing by Triple H, bringing her in and putting the build up in the work into building her the way they did, would you call that a failure?
I'd call it a Triple H should have had a conversation going, "You're not planning on becoming a mom in the next year or two, are you?" Because, I mean, when you go for a job interview, and believe me, I've been on tons of them recently, one of the questions that I get asked a lot is, "Do you have anything major planned within the next 90 days, 120 days? That maybe should have been asked. I don't know. I don't know how Mace feels about that. Would that have been something, if you were Triple H, you would have said to her, any chance you're going to be a mommy soon?"
Well, you can't always plan for such things, you know. So to turn around, you could almost say, there's like some sort of, like, you can't turn, it's like turning around, the military turning around to a soldier signing up and saying, "Are you gay?" You know, there are certain boundaries you don't say to people. You don't turn around to a woman and go, "You're not planning on getting pregnant, are you? If you're getting pregnant, well, then we don't want you."
Yeah, because then that sets everybody up for a lawsuit, and Jim McDivitt, who's probably listening right now, is going, "Yeah, can I pen that draft right now? I'm going to sue you for even bringing that up." So
it's not even that. Like, to me, I don't necessarily.
I call it an incomplete right now. If that's what you're asking me. I can't give it a letter grade.
I'm not really. It's either pass or fail. There's no letter grade. It's either pass or fail. Because of the amount of money and the build-up that they put into her, you know, she... I have a child. You've had two kids, Alan.
Well, my wife has. I just cheered on from the sidelines.
Right. Well, you know what I mean. I mean, we're both, you and I are both fathers. We're parents. So we know the process. We know that between the 2 and 3 month mark, or the 2 and 4 month mark, is usually when is the first time you find out you're pregnant.
And you're not supposed to say anything, because that's the old jinx thing from what my wife told me.
Right, but you find out, that's when you find out you're pregnant, is between the 2 and 4 month mark. So, this woman was pregnant for, I would say, a good majority of the amount of time that she was in FCW. Because they signed her, what, last... They didn't, what, February? They signed her in February?
Something around that. She got signed before Mania. No, she got signed before that because we were thinking she was going to be
the
in
Rumble.
The Rumble.
So it was like around December, January, all right? So it's, she announced her pregnancy in May. So you count back, you go April, March, February. She got knocked up sometime in January, February. So she did that whole time at FCW, and those first couple of matches and walk it, you know, run-ins, pregnant. And you have to know what's going on. She had to have known what was going on. So to me, I consider it a failure.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just...
No, you're fine. You're totally fine. It's a good topic because, you know, her and Sin Cara, never the two main signings right now that he's done, and John Moxley's the third one who's currently in FCW. Karma and Sin Cara basically bypassed the developmental system.
Right.
Now, this is where I brought this up because for many years, before Florida Championship Wrestling, or whatever you want to call it, and Deep South Wrestling, for the longest time, you had Danny Davis, you had Jim Cornette, you had Paul Heyman there running Ohio Valley Wrestling. And I was watching Raw, and I'm watching the FCW and SmackDown, and I'm going, wow, you know, a couple of years ago, all these kids were down in FCW. This is just the people that are in, have been, or are currently in WWE, have gone through OVW in the whole time. And it's a long list, but I'll buzz through it. Nick Dinsmore, who fans remember as Eugene. Rob Conway, who was a previous guest on the show. Joey Matthews, who used to be a part of Eminem. Hey, John Morrison was down there for a while, too. Oh, you've got, and holy cow, I'm going to try to buzz through this. The Basham Brothers, some guy named Randy Orton, I hear he's going to be big. Charlie Haas, you've got Leviathan, who many people know as the MMA superstar. Oh, wait, he's not MMA. David Batista. You have Romeo Rizzelli. Yeah, Brock Lesnar and Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin. John Heidenreich. Matt Morgan, who's currently over in TNA Wrestling. You had the Heartthrobs, Heartbreakers, or you call them, Antonio Thomas and Romeo Rosselli. Chris Masters, Gene Schnitzky, Mr. Kennedy. And then, of course, there's the ever-popular, as Mace likes to call them, put them in the box, send them back, the Spirit Squad, which was, wow. It's just amazing to think of those guys' names and go, wow, they're there.
Swagger.
You had Mike. Yeah, you had
Stryker. Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, Dolph Ziggler is Nick Nemeth. You had Mike Mondo. You had Nick Mitchell. You had Ken Doan. Elijah Burke, the current, Pope D'Angelo De Niro was down there. The unfortunately recent past, Sean Osborne. Al Snow was also down there doing the training. You had
WWE doesn't own OVW anymore.
Not anymore, but this is who came through their doors.
If Triple H, if he's talking about overhauling the developmental, he's talking about overhauling the process, what does he intend to do?
Yeah, let's bring up, this is who's come through FCW. And then I'll let everybody talk here for a minute. Just from the time that I was down at FCW visiting, you had Kofi Kingston, Alex Riley, you have Barrett came from there, Otunga, Slater, Justin Gabriel, Michael McGillicuddy, who is Joe Henning, Husky Harris. Oh, unfortunately, the folks that just got released, who we'll address in a moment or two. Ted DiBiase Jr. Fans may not even realize that. Yeah, Teddy was down there. Current former world champion Jack Swagger. Nick Nemeth came in and then eventually became what he is. Low Key came in and out for a little while. Lance Hoyt was in and out for a little while. Just Lance. On the roster alone right now.
Lance Hoyt.
Hey, we had fun having Lance on this show. Yeah, current star Brodus Clay is one. Byron Saxton. You've got AJ. Everyone that was on NXT seasons 1, 2, 3, and 4. If you ever wonder, where'd they come from? That's where they came from. There's so many people. Santino came out of OVW and then moved to FCW. And of course, Mace's least favorite, Sheamus. You've had Ezekiel Jackson come in and out of there. Just of those names, you look at who's on Raw SmackDown right now. Majority of those cats came through developmental. And if you think like a sports franchise for a moment there, my dreaded New York Yankees always get the label of, oh, well, they buy their players, and this and that. Look at that we do. I admit it. And I love every second of it.
You do. Your developmental farm system sucks. That's why you have to use the Cleveland Indians.
Damn, some guy named Jeter came out of there. I hear he's going to be really big.
You've had one guy in 20 years. Shut your fucking mouth.
Jeter, Rivera, Posada, Bernie Williams, but I see. Oh, Jackie wants to know, weren't some of the Tough Enough cast from FCW? Yes. The winner actually was. Andy was a part of it, and so was Christina, so she was here. So, to Mace, because I know Spug has a view too, but you've been quiet for a few minutes here. In your mind, what makes a good developmental? Is it what FCW's got right now from what you see on paper, just from who's been there since 2007 and 8? Or is there too many people under developmental and not enough on the main roster? Give your view if you can, please.
My view on developmental is the same as it always has been. It's too cookie cutter. There's too many guys coming out of there doing the exact same thing, same look, same wrestling style. I want them to change it up, have people with variety, people with different gimmicks, people who can actually talk on a freaking microphone.
Well, before I go ahead, because I want to defend one person that gets a lot of slack. Wade Barrett is actually really good on the mic.
Well, Wade Barrett doesn't have to be good on the mic. Wade Barrett has one thing going for him. Well, two things going for him that make him an extremely good heel off the bat. One, he's British. Two, he has an accent. I apologize, Miss. Continue.
No, I'm done.
Would this be my friend Scott Fishman calling in?
Yeah, how's it going, guys? How are you?
We're doing good.
Hold on. Is this Scott Fishman from the Miami Herald?
No.
I don't technically work for the Miami Herald, but I know what you're getting at here, so. All right. Bring it on.
Get your cheap shot in.
Hey, Hey, how's that Larry O'Brien trophy looking in your trophy case right now?
I was a little skeptical to call in tonight because I was afraid that this was going to happen.
Oh, I'm done. I'm good.
All right.
Yeah, Scott is a contributor to Jim Barcelone's wonderful work with the Miami Herald, and Scott has his own stuff that he does online, so he was gracious to stop by for some WWE talk. The topic right now is talking about if you're going to go with Triple H's decision to possibly overhaul developmental. It's interesting because there are plenty of indie promotions, and you being in South Florida alone, Scott, you see Bobby Rogers has his FOW thing going up again. Bruno Sassi and Big Tilly have CCW, where MVP came out of, the former Antonio Banks. They're running shows, and Scott can confirm this. Have you attended any of the FCW house shows when they were down there?
Yeah, I attended this year. There was at the fairgrounds, the Broward County Fair, or actually Miami-Dade Fair. They had the FCW. I think every year they do a show there. So I got a chance to check it out. They had the Nexus there, and they had Alberto Del Rio signing autographs with Ricardo Rodriguez. So, yeah, I did get a chance to check it out for the first time.
Yeah, which is also funny because those two cats were in FCW for the longest while. And, you know, it's weird because let's look back for a second here. FCW currently is run by Steve Kern. Dusty Rhodes is in and out. Norman Smiley's in and out. Billy Kidman's in and out. There's so many people that are in there. You've had, and the couple times I stopped by there, you had Jerry Briscoe stopping by, Dean Malenko stopping by. Mace brought up the point there's too many cookie cutter people here, but no, Sheamus is a great gimmick that was developed in FCW. Jack Swagger's All American American was developed there. So, your thoughts on the way developmental is done right now, Scott, and if you had a decision, would you trim that roster down to maybe 20 people? Because I think there's like 40 or 50 kids down in that place, if I remember right.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they're always looking for the prototypical, you know, diva and the prototypical, you know, wrestler, or sports entertainer, I should say, wrestler. I don't know. I shouldn't have used that word.
We can say it. They can't.
Okay, I'm not censored, that's good. I think it's interesting how they have these veterans go and talk to the guys, you know, the guys that are under developmental, and tell them that, you know, you have to stand out, you have to do this, you have to do that. But when you ultimately get signed, when you fall into that category that Vince McMahon likes, like the creative team likes, you've gotta be a big guy, 6 foot two, you know, there are the exceptions, but you have to fit that mold. And I think trimming the fat, per se, and, you know, having less people would actually, I think, would be beneficial because you could focus on those guys. And I think people that, you know, that come right off the street and go right into FCW and then go right to the WWE, they don't really have an appreciation for the business for guys like you mentioned, MVP, who worked the indies for so long and so many years. And, you know, he worked his ass off, and then all of a sudden he got signed, and it was a big deal. You know, he learned to appreciate things, and I think that's what's missed now with the guys going straight from FCW after a year or two into the WWE, and then they work, and then if you don't succeed, a lot of times they'll just let you go, and then, you know, then where do you go?
Yeah, well, I want to pass this to Spug because you always hear, well, you need to learn the WWE style, as opposed to Ring of Honor or work in the indies themselves. And someone who did that is, you know, former world champion CM Punk. Went to Ohio Valley, changed up a little bit of his stuff, and of course, every move now, thanks to Michael Cole, even a side headlock, is the Anaconda Vice. So, if you had control of FCW and developmental, Spug, and I know I'm about to open up a big door here, but if you're given Triple H's gig and you're, how do you criteria list criteria for signing someone? Because you look at Sin Cara recently, who has signed, and Karma recently signed. So if you're Triple H, you're in charge, what's your criteria?
I think, first of all, you have to get rid of this notion of learning the WWE style. Because wrestling schools don't teach the WWE style. They teach wrestling. You were there to learn your craft and learn your profession. So I really think this arrogance that Vince and company has needs to go by the wayside. Like, it just does. Because you're never going to completely kill pro wrestling. It's just, it's not going to happen. You're not going to recreate it in your own image. So, you know, if I've got the book and I'm signing people, I am looking for individuals who are competent in the ring, can hold their own as far as spots and things like that. And then, more importantly, people who can talk on the mic. How many times in the past 8 years have we seen individuals be pushed and brought up into a WWE ring and put on television, and they can't talk? To save their life, they can't talk.
Yeah, and we brought it up that they, from being there and talking to people there, weekly, at least weekly, they do promo day, where you're not even in the ring, you're put in front of a camera, and you do promos.
I don't, you know what? It's not even in front of a camera. Put them in front of a live audience. Actual people where they have to react to what's going on. And they have to react to either being booed, they have to react to being cheered, all of that. They have to react. Because if you don't, you're never going to learn your strengths and your weaknesses as a talker. You're just not. And when you have these individuals who come up and can't talk and can't hold their own in a microphone, you know, with a microphone, it detracts from what you're trying to do with them. Mm-hmm. And individuals like Karma, right? We all know Karma should never be given a microphone. And it's not because she can't talk. It's because when she opens her mouth, the voice doesn't fit the character. Not at all. And you've taken away the art of the manager. You've taken away guys like Bobby Heenan and Ted DiBiase and put, you know, bleach blonde bimbos on every guy's arm. Or Vicky Guerrero. And Vicky Guerrero, quite honestly, is a great manager. As much heat as we want to give her in an improper way, she's a great manager. She really is. And, you know, you've taken away things that add to your product. So if I'm Triple H and I have the magic pen and I'm overhauling developmental, go back to basics. Get back to basics.
Yeah, let me jump in real quick here. I'm up actually on FCW Wrestling's website. They do a Thursday taping for the Bright House Sports Network show. They're on every Thursday night, 7 p.m. at the FCW Arena down by MacDill. This is just what they've got booked for June. Tomorrow night they're in Palm Bay for an event. Then they're up in Brooksville. Then they're in Lakeland on the day before Father's Day, which is actually Haku, who's the father, I believe, of Leah Kay, Likey. I can never get that name right. Ricky Dragon Steamboat's going to be there with his son Richie. Then on the 22nd, they're in Orlando. The 24th, they're in Bradenton. The 25th, they're in Palatka. So these kids are getting house show experience. Granted, and when you were at the event, Scott, what was it, maybe an indie crowd, like 2,500 max at this thing?
Yeah, it was an outside venue. It was pretty full. I mean, it probably was a little bit more than that. But yeah, you had them working the crowd and everything. But they basically, at the beginning of the show, it was just a battle royal with a lot of guys involved. And then there were a few matches. Actually, don't remember who was involved at this point. But I mean, the actual matches themselves. I mean, but most of the matches had NXT guys, or they had Richie Steamboat in the match and Seth Rollins, who's the guy who should be on the main roster by now. Even Ricky Steamboat even said so, that he was ready to be called up to the main roster. It's amazing that they haven't, you know.
Yeah, Tyler, the former Tyler Black, who's your current tag champ with Richie Steamboat, and they also have a title on him. I think he's the 15 champion, which I believe was earned at a Briscoe event. We're actually going to end this segment because we're going to try to keep to a format tonight. If you're wondering who's that music and who's that wonderful voice, that would be Miss Shirley Manson of the band Garbage, which is one of my personal favorites. No, and if you've ever wondered, his name's Brian Werner, and he's from here in Florida. He's lived here for on and off for a little bit.
He's from Canton, Ohio.
Ooh, there's a big sign somewhere, isn't there, saying, I'm from Kenton, home of Marilyn Manson. Coming up after the break, we will get into Friday Night SmackDown with an amazing match with Randy Orton and Sheamus. Monday Night Raw, all 3 hours from the Nassau Coliseum. And we will get involved with capital punishment. And maybe we'll be doing the next Barack Obama press conference. All at World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back.
Professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy.
Christian Cage.
Mark Derry. Candice LaSalle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
The following is the resume of Tim Stein, the inventor of the light bulb, the creator of the internet, a professional grass waterer, and of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
And you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
It's me, it's that D-O-double-G mobbing once again with Wild Talk Radio. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Suck it!
That is actually one of the best Bond songs you'll ever hear. That's from The World Is Not Enough, and if there was ever a Bond girl waiting to be, Shirley Manson is it. So
she's so sexy.
Yeah, get the new Bond going now that MGM finally found a place to stick the Bond film series.
Have they found a new Bond yet?
No, it's going to be Daniel Craig at least for one movie.
I thought he was done.
Nope, he's doing the girl with the pearl earring and all that series or whatever that stuff is, that Stieg Larsson book. He's doing those, and he's going to do a new Bond, which I think is in 2012.
Wait. So has the people who cast the Bond movies been getting people from FCW, you know, bland, generic, no charisma whatsoever?
Hey, why not? I could see Wade Barrett as a Bond villain. That'd be awesome. Yep, Spug and Mace are here with us each and every week. Well, Mace may not be for long. He's being taken away by the government. In a good way. Scott Fishman is a contributor to the MiamiHerald.com, joining us as well. We had some interesting stuff happen in WWE. We were talking of Elemental, Michael Tarver, Jacob Novak, Buddy Stretcher, fortunate name, Buck Dixon, and Ethan Levine, all released from their developmental contracts. Okay, I don't think anybody will miss any of them. Someone that is missed is Jim Ross, and he actually posted this on his JR's barbecue site. I will be undergoing abdominal surgery. I have been bothered by a traumatic incisional hernia that needs to be addressed. My surgeon is the same one who performed my colon surgery, and no, not the beloved Dr. Heine from a few years ago. The issue evolved just in the past 3 or 4 months, and he's told that getting it repaired now will prevent further issues down the road.
You know what
we
caused
wish
it?
Him nothing to be- oh, I'm sure you have a good reason.
It's the anger that he feels during the UFC pay-per-views. That man gets angry, I tell you what.
between him and Paul Heyman going back and forth, tweeting back and forth, you know, you don't even need to see the show. You could just, you know, follow them along.
Oh, we do. Paul Heyman, he posts some really good pictures during UFC shows.
Yeah, they are interesting if you've never followed Heyman Hustle on there. Jersey Girl out of Leib, so thanks for stopping by tonight. Hopefully she feels better. Raw and SmackDown were really good this week, which is getting interesting. And fortunately, between segments of the hockey and other sporting events Friday, I was like, hey, look at that. I can actually click over here. Let me run the matches that went down. You had a 6-person match to open the show, which was Ezekiel Jackson and the Usos. That's right, the Usos made TV.
Wow.
Check that mark off. Yay. They defeated the Core, which also defeated itself, as Wade Barrett is on his own, and who knows where Gabriel and Slater will land. Jinder Mahal getting another victory, this time over Trent Beretta. AJ getting her first SmackDown win, defeating Tamina in a singles bout. Sin Cara and the Mood Lighting made 2 appearances. First, he defeated Ted DiBiase despite Cody Rhodes' involvement, which immediately turned into Sin Cara and Daniel Bryan versus DiBiase and Rhodes. And wouldn't you know it, Sin Cara and Daniel Bryan take it over. And as mentioned earlier, one of the more interesting heavyweight championship matches to be seen on SmackDown, and it's amazing that this match was on TV in the PG atmosphere. Sheamus defeated Randy Orton, the world champ, in a no DQ match. Of course, Captain Charisma himself, Christian, had a little help in that. But, you know, it's weird, Scott, that we're PG, but let's not mind Randy Orton whipping out that cane and turning parts of Sheamus' white alabaster skin bright red.
Yeah, I was like, what is going on here with that spot? But then you watched Raw last night and you heard Austin and, you know, the language he was using, that was the start of the show at the 8 p.m. hour. So, you know, they seem to be going more to, you know, spots where it warrants to push the envelope a little bit. Not even that much, but just a little bit. And you notice when those moments actually happen is when it becomes, you know, interesting. That's when it gets interesting. So, you know, spot.
Yeah, it was interesting to see. As I said, it helped push the storyline along, as we found out on the Raw announcements of the pay-per-view matches, that it's a little weird that Sheamus gets the victory over Randy Orton, Spug and Mace, but Captain Charisma is getting the shot at the pay-per-view. Wouldn't you have gotten Sheamus in this, in a triple threat of some kind, if you're booking this? Or
well,
does Sheamus screw over Captain Cupcake?
Well, you've got Christian as a new heel. You've got to give time to put it over. Like, 2 weeks on TV, it's not going to do it. So they have the match, cement Christian as a heel. Then maybe you can insert Sheamus after that.
Because our next...
Yeah, they're probably saving that for the, you know, the pay-per-view after, because they like to, you know, rehash matches all the time.
Yeah, Money
you know,
on the Bank,
one
which
month
is July 17th.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's probably what they're building towards.
Can we finally pay the light bill, Spug, and get Sin Cara some lights here? Does this just bother you? Is this to cover up Botchamania, this mood lighting with Sin Cara?
I don't know what it is, dude. All right. Here's the thing. We can be critical of his in-ring performance, but we cannot look the other way in the fact that WWE was ill-prepared for him and the speed at which he wrestles. So to blame it all on him and, you know, just sit there and say he botches everything.
But does that fall on your husband?
No, I don't think it falls on Triple H entirely.
I said a little bit.
No, I don't. I think it falls squarely at the feet of Vince. Because, as we all know, Vince has the ultimate say. And so I think it falls squarely at the feet of Vince, who knows, you know, whether Vince wants to play stupid or not, Vince knows about Mexican wrestling and with the speed at which they wrestle at, and the intensity at which they wrestle at. So when he has a roster who is entirely ill-prepared for someone like Sin Cara or Mystico, you know, whatever you want to call him, that's his fault.
Yeah, but then you have got him working with guys like Chavo, and I'm sure Rey Mysterio said some things about, I mean, giving him some sort of advice about, you know, making that transition.
Mm.
So he's had some time to adapt. You know, he's had before, you know, wrestlers like Chavo, who's used to the lucha style, to adapt with that. But the one question I have about SmackDown is, did you notice that when it went to the singles match, the lighting was there, but then it went to a tag team match, and the lighting wasn't there? And then on Raw, the lighting was there, and it was a tag team match. So I don't know what happened during that tag match. Did he lose his powers, or I don't know what happened?
I hate that stupid lighting. I don't get it. I don't understand why they're doing it. I don't.
Really,
it was like, yeah, it reminded me of when Kane had that lighting for a while.
The red light? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's food lighting. You know, you almost want to be in, like, in a restaurant. You know, like, where are the candles at? And then, waiter, where are... Oh, there you are, waiter. You're in the ring wrestling. How'd you get there? I mean, he's been booked with some cats that can go. He had his match with Daniel Bryan. He had his match with Tyson Kidd, T.J. Wilson. Oh, unfortunately, Ray Ray is now over on Raw. Who else on this roster of SmackDown, if you look at it, can you keep him with that he say? I mean, if he stays in this situation, Teddy showed he could go with him for a little while. Is he Intercontinental U.S. Championship material in the near or immediate future, or does he need to breathe, slow down, get some Ritalin in this kid? That's to anybody.
I don't know. I actually think it would be interesting if they actually brought the lightweight championship back. You have so many guys right now that are like Trent Barretta, like Sin Cara, where they can build a division around him. I mean, it wasn't like with Taka Michinoku where you just threw people in. You have some guys that you're not doing very much with that you could put him with and surround the, you know, make it a lightweight division around. But you know, I know WWE, so that won't happen. But
I don't
you know, just
think
from my
I don't think that you separate it by weight.
Okay.
I don't. I think you need to have sort of an X division, kind of like TNA, where you can have guys that are like Samoa Joe, like Abyss, who are a bit heavier. You know, that way it creates a couple of mismatches and some interesting matches. But, you know, I don't think you just keep it primarily to the lightweights. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Let me move away from SmackDown to Raw. And even before we get to Raw itself, someone who is not on this 3-hour fun fest at the Nassau Coliseum was the Long Island native himself, the woo-woo-woo man, Zack Ryder. Apparently was on Superstars. He actually tweeted that. It said, wasn't on Raw besides all the Ryder signs and chants, but you can catch me on Thursday's WWE Superstars. Now, that didn't stop certain people from tweeting around. Dolph Ziggler wrote, you don't rib and quote the kid, unquote, tonight. You ribbed the fans, Long Island and the boys in the back, and you kicked them in the nuts, and then put the number sign and then Ryder or Riot. Chris Jericho actually brought it up. For fans that don't know it, Jericho was born in Canada, but raised a little while in Manhasset on Long Island. So he knows of the Nassau Coliseum, actually put, so lame that WWE didn't conclude at Zack Ryder on Raw last night. No reason not to. Wrestling is supposed to be fun, remember? Time to riot. Even Wade Barrett gets involved with some word. He basically just typed WWYKI. I don't know what that means. I don't speak the language.
Well, you know it. It's no. The first letter of each word.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for translating that. You had some mixed feelings on Zack Ryder, Mace, and for fans that aren't aware of it, your t-shirt that you wish to have created for Zack is...
Job. I do it. But this is the thing. I'm not a big Zack Ryder fan. I don't really like the whole Jersey Shore style gimmick, mainly because I don't like the show. But I give props where it's due. This guy has gone out on his own, basically doing a Chris Jericho and WCW situation where the company's not getting behind him, so what does he do? He goes and gets himself over at his own expense. He puts himself out there so people will be cheering for him. And it has worked. And now all of a sudden, you're in the dude's hometown. This is like back in WCW, going there once again, when they used to go to Charlotte, and what would they do to Ric Flair? They'd job him out and make him look like a fool.
Anywhere in the Carolinas, you know? They did that.
Yeah.
But that's been WWE's MO, dude.
Usually when it comes down to the hometown hero, though, Spug, they pull him out and give them a segment. They used to do it in Calgary. They do it in Oklahoma. They any time you go had a guy with a name who was over with the fans and he and you're in his hometown, you bring him out there, get the cheap pop, get the people in the seats.
Well, what's
you don't do it with Zack Ryder?
They bring them out as a hometown crowd, but then they embarrass them in front of their hometown crowd. That's what WWE does. That's what they're known to do over the years.
Yeah, Sir Rockin just brought up, look at Jim Ross in Oklahoma. Anytime he gets near that state, it's like, all right, let's rip. Come here, JR. We want to throw barbecue sauce on you. We want to set you on fire or something like that. This was a 3-hour Monday Night Raw, which we're going to get next week, too. But we'll talk about that in a second.
Another 3-hour Raw?
Yeah, Stone Cold, under his power, booked another 3-hour Raw. The next week will be done by the fans of WWE.
So that's
Monday.
So that's 3 3-hour Raws back to back to back.
Well, I guess you could count that. He's counting the one where the Tough Enough finale was mixed in.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. And this show was run by WWE Hall of Famer Stone Cold Steve Austin. Let me run the matches that happened, and then we'll talk some of the interesting segments. We brought up Sin Cara again on Raw. He teamed with Daniel Bryan and Ezekiel Jackson to defeat Ted DiBiase, Cody Rhodes, Wade Barrett. Alberto Del Rio takes on Kane and lost via disqualification. Sheamus defeated Santino Marella. We had U.S. champion Kofi Kingston and Evan Bourne defeat Jack Swagger and Dolph Ziggler. We had every girl on the roster, which was basically Kelly Kelly, Gail Kim, Beth Phoenix, Natty Neidhart, AJ Caitlin, and Eve Torres defeat the Bella Twins, Alicia Maurice, Tamina, Rosa Mendez, and Melina. And I couldn't even keep track of who actually was in and out of the ring.
Wait, so Tamina went heel again?
Sort of, kind of, yeah.
Okay, so she's not with Santino anymore.
No, different shows. They've been broken up by the roster moves.
Uh-huh.
It's a shame. Your main event of this evening was CM Punk defeating WWE Champion John Cena in a non-title bout, thanks to a little help from R-Truth and the little Jimmys and Julies.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Like it's going to happen Sunday, come on. We were supposed to have John Morrison versus R-Truth, but you know, the real-life neck injury of John Morrison was weaved into a storyline. So it looked like you had R-Truth help that along, wish John Morrison the best in recovery. We had Hornswoggle get involved with his T-shirt tossing at R-Truth. We had three interesting promo setups. One was between The Miz and Stone Cold Steve Austin. Then you had Alberto Del Rio and Steve Austin. And then, of course, one of the holy members of the WWE Universe, Rowdy Roddy Piper, was given a special Piper's Pit to help Alex Riley and The Miz move their stuff along. And I bring this up because I want to pitch it to Spug Mason and to Brian. Roddy Piper, in a match with Riley as the ref, defeats The Miz. Now, does this hurt Miz's character at all, that he's defeated by a guy who wrestled in WrestleMania 1? Or if you're The Miz, are you grinning ear to ear going, holy crap, Roddy Piper just beat me, this is awesome?
Who is that to?
We can go to you first.
I thought you were gonna go to our wonderful guest.
Oh, he's got his time. He'll come after you, so go ahead.
I don't know. I would assume that if it's The Miz, he's probably just stoked that you know, he could do his part and put over Piper.
Well, they put over Pee Wee Herman the last time they were in the Nassau Coliseum, so this is an upgrade, isn't it?
I would assume so. But, you know, I don't know. I really don't.
Well, I mean, Scott, is it just a nice nostalgia moment to see Piper there and a nice cross-generation thing where The Miz is one of the better gentlemen on the mic in the current WWE roster, and have him have not only go at it with Steve Austin, who's probably one of the top three of all time or five of all time, now you mix in Roddy Roddy Piper, who is the godfather of all talk show segments.
Yeah, well, I think this was all things of elevated Alex Riley. I mean, never in a million years did you think Alex Riley would one week be main eventing Raw and winning, and teaming with Cena, and the next week being in the ring with Roddy Piper, and, you know, the top star is The Miz. I think more than anything, I don't think The Miz lost that much credibility in the match because they were really pushing Riley, making him a threat, and if Roddy Piper can believe in Alex Riley, then so can us, the viewers. It kind of reminds me of when, you know, Virgil kind of turned on, you know, with Ted DiBiase and Roddy Piper. Was it Roddy Piper there as well during that whole situation? So it kind of brings back memories of that. Hopefully for Riley's sake, you know, he just ends up, you know, better off than what Virgil did, but that's what it sort of reminds me of, and I think that's one of the matches I'm looking forward to seeing on Sunday because it's something different, something, you know, we haven't seen before, a match between these two, and I think they've built it up over the past 2 weeks and surprised a lot of people. I think you heard the crowd last night with Alex Riley chants, and I mean, you gotta be doing something right. The Miz
I know is good in his role, so he's definitely helping Alex Riley along, but, you know, who in a million years thought Alex Riley would be one of the top faces right now on the show?
Yeah, and also proves, Mace, that a DUI is a good thing.
To go back to that, yeah. I'm that big of a Rowdy Roddy Piper mark that any time the dude is on television, I'm instantly, you know, pissing myself laughing. I actually had to, I had to download it. I couldn't catch it live like I usually do. I actually had to stop the show when, you know, they're getting into the big heat argument over the, you know, oh, you put up $1,000. No, I'm going to get my ass kicked. How about five? And all of a sudden, Austin pops up on the Tron, and he's like, I like that. And you see Roddy's looking around going, God? And I'm
that
like,
was funny.
Oh.
You're using my appearance fee. That's not cool.
Would
you like
just
to see...
Stop laughing.
Yeah, let me go back to Ska real quick. We've debated on this show for several months of the Raw GM whose computer got its butt kicked again. So another trip to Office Depot or Best Buy for WWE. Would you... If you could budget him in and have him do stuff via satellite, and he doesn't have to be there every single Raw... Roddy Piper is the anonymous general manager, if you had a vote?
I don't know. Last night I thought Austin did an awesome job as general manager, so I would like to, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing him every week. I mean, he worked with all the stars. You saw him with Dolph Ziggler. You saw him with The Miz. You saw him, you know, you saw him here and there. So I think Austin would be great for the role as well. And who knows, Mick Foley, you know, now free from TNA, and he's been GM before, hasn't he? So, you know, everyone thought maybe Long Island... So maybe we'd see, you know, Mick Foley down the road in that role, and I think he would also be someone to consider. But somebody's got to take the role because this is getting tired, it's getting old, and, you know, I know a lot of people are saying the same thing. I mean, this has gone long enough, I think.
Yeah. Capital Punishment is this Sunday. If you're a fan of Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern, they will follow Capital Punishment. These are the matches that are announced as of this moment. They are filming Friday Night SmackDown as we speak. The two world championship matches, WWE champ John Cena versus R-Truth and all the little Jimmies. Your world champion Randy Orton will take on Christian. Scott brought it up, A-Rai versus The Miz. Last night announced Kofi Kingston will defend against Dolph Ziggler. They had a couple good matches on Raw and house show matches. You've got the Intercontinental Champion Wade Barrett now going alone because Slater and Gabriel have abandoned him, so look for them possibly to get involved with Ezekiel Jackson. Also announced last night on Raw, Big Show versus Alberto Del Rio. And once again, we're going to get Rey Mysterio versus CM Punk. I don't think anything's on the line here, but if you could circle a match, Scott, we do this all the time on the show, circle the match that's your bathroom break and circle the match that you have been looking forward to on pay-per-view.
Well, actually, you know, a lot of these matches are, like, good on paper. A lot of matches we've seen before. I mean, if you look at the cards over the past year, you've seen a lot of these matches, but... One that I'm really looking forward to seeing, I know CM Punk and Rey Mysterio are going to deliver an awesome match. I know Kofi and Dolph are going to have a solid matchup. Orton and Christian have proven that as well. But The Miz and Alex Riley is the one I'm most interested in seeing. I think that one, to me, is had the most interesting build. And the bathroom break, I think, is The Big Show and Alberto Del Rio. I just thought that the reason behind this whole match and everything surrounding it is kind of ridiculous. And I think Alberto Del Rio, over the past couple of weeks, kind of lost his, you know, his way in a way. I don't know if they know what they're doing with him. They put him with The Big Show now. So that would be my bathroom break at this moment in time, as the card stands right now. If I had to pick one, that would be it.
If you were in control, Mace, would you have made that match Big Show and Kane versus Del Rio and let Ricardo Rodriguez get in there and get smacked around for a bit?
I would have turned around and said, you know what? We're going to put this into a handicap match. We're going to have Big Show and Kane beat on Del Rio.
That way you could totally kill the gimmick off. Is that what you're trying to do?
Shh. That's my secret plan.
Okay, it's your plan to rule the world as you exit stage
right. Of course.
Yeah. Is there a matchup? Does Riley Miz make you intrigued here like Scott is, or is it another match that you're going, you know, these guys had some good stuff going on Raw, let's see if it or SmackDown, let's see if it transitions to pay-per-view?
I wouldn't mind seeing where they go with it. They do have the attention of the crowd. I'm somewhat interested in seeing what's coming up. So, yeah. Mind you, I won't be watching the pay-per-view.
Yep, you'll be very busy, and
we'll catch it on replay
at the end of the show. Yeah, to close the segment out, to Spug, match of interest and match that you're going, where's the nachos? Where's the Doritos?
My match of interest is CM Punk and Rey Mysterio. That's my match of interest.
Oh.
My nachos match is Ezekiel Jackson and Wade Barrett.
Nothing wrong with that one. Any interesting stuff coming up column-wise for you, Mr. Fishman?
Not at the moment. Jim, I know, has a story up with Ted DiBiase where he talked all over the weekend from the Miami Dolphins this weekend. They had the benefit where they're starting to promote, you know, set the gears in motion for WrestleMania 28, starting early, it seems. Just trying to do some blog stuff, actually, just trying to work on this WordPress, you know, seeing my way around this blog. And next week, I know Alberto Del Rio will be down here at a Best Buy signing, so I might do something on that. So,
I'm far out.
Check that out. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yep. Give everybody your tag on Twitter. How do they find you?
FM Fishman is the tag on Twitter. Always tweeting, especially during wrestling shows. Keeps my interest, you know, especially during TNA sometimes. So that's where you guys can find me. Always tweeting.
Wonderful. Coming up after the break, speaking of TNA.
Hold on. One second. Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
Did you hear about LeBron having to go to the Verizon store to get his phone fixed?
Oh no!
Oh god! Here's the no. I didn't.
He went in and said it would only vibrate, and the Verizon tech looked at him and said, "Huh, your phone's just like you. It's got no ring."
Wow! I was waiting for the quarter joke, but I guess we're not going to hear that one. But.
Yep, coming up after the break, yeah. We will get into the recap of Slammiversary and TNA's move to Destination X on All I Will of Wrestling Radio.
Are you looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of AllMyWorldOfWrestling.com. OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions, as well. There are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
This is Bob the Farm Age telling you to tune in to Otaku Talk Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. How am I doing this? Don't tell me I bent laws of space and time again.
Oh, radio, tell me everything.
Goddamn casting magic missile.
Do you have a business that you are looking to take online but have no idea what an HTML or a JPEG is? Do you currently have a website that is in need of an overhaul? Or do you have a website that needs updating but you don't have the time to do so? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need to check out WTRProductions.tk, where you can get quality web design and management at an affordable rate. Looking to get the lowdown on all the services we offer? Then shoot us off an email by checking out our contact section so that we can help you get started building your online home. WTR Productions. High quality work for an affordable rate. Built the way you want. Located at www.wtrproductions.tk.
This is the original voice of wrestling, Tim Stein. Catch me talking sense about the WWE, TNA, and the rest on the real voice of professional wrestling talk, Wrestle Talk Radio, Sunday nights, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. He is listed in our credits each and every week, and thanks to the wonderful folks of SUNY Stony Brook, he is here. Jamal Kevin Scott is joining us, maybe or maybe not under the influence of some prescription medication. How are we feeling today, my man?
I am feeling a lot better, but I'm still pretty groggy. A lot better, though. Thank you.
You will feel a shit ton better when you have the surgery.
I can't wait.
Yeah, dude, live on iPay-per-view.
All right, last summer, I went into the ER on a Saturday night, and they couldn't find anything wrong and said that 60% of all abdominal pain went undiagnosed and sent me home. Mm. I was back there on a Wednesday afternoon with the doctor telling me that I had gangrene and my gallbladder was literally decomposing inside my body.
What?
Yes.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. So, I've been far worse than you.
Good lord, it sounds like it. I'm sorry to hear that, man.
So, when they did the laparoscopy, dude, this is Wednesday. I didn't have my surgery till Friday. And morphine was my best friend ever.
Lucky.
Milligrams of undiluted morphine every 4 hours.
That's absolutely incredible.
And now some folks would say you have to be on that to watch TNA wrestling. I don't know if that's true.
Ooh. Well, actually, technically, I was still feeling some of that. I did watch TNA, and I really wish I didn't.
Yeah, which led to a very interesting Impact Wrestling leading into our pay-per-view, which we'll address in a moment or two. They were actually some pretty decent matches on this show. You had Angelina Love and Winter defeat Mickie James and Tara, thanks to help from Madison Rain, of course. Mickey J. Of course, no Tara, no Madison on Sunday, but hey. We had the British Invasion do commentary with Taz and Mike Tanay to watch Mexican America defeat the Beer Money Machine Guns, as some of my friends have dubbed them. We had an open challenge by Bully Ray, answered by Rob Van Dam, another MIA person from the PPV. Heaven forbid you not have Mr. PPV on a PPV. I know I'm using letters, but hey, OMG. We had Velvet Sky defeat
you
Cody.
Fail.
I wasn't even trying to succeed. That's the funny part of all of that. We had Velvet Sky defeat ODB in a very hard-hitting matchup. And we had, I really was hoping he would have come out in the makeup, but he didn't. Gunner and Mr. Anderson defeated Sting and Eric Young when a mix-up allowed Gunner to pin Sting. I was hoping we would have had Great Muta, or we would have had Sting versus Sting again, and maybe Gunner could have dressed up as a Ric Flair or something, who knows. Which led to, as we outlined on WrestleTalk Radio Sunday night, which is available on this network, 10 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock on the nights of pay-per-views, we've got a new world champion. And many people like myself feel the dude should have never lost the strap. Mr. Anderson is once again your heavyweight champion when he defeated the Icon Sting with a little bit of help from Eazy-E himself. Okay, maybe a little, a lot. This just in, that was a three count. But we'll address that in a minute. The Beer Money Machine Guns defeated British Invasion. What?
It was not a three count.
We'll address it in a second. Hold your beer for a second and celebrate as the Beer Money Machine Guns won. In what many felt was the match of the snore, Matt Morgan defeated Scott Steiner. Your World X Division champion, or actually he's redubbed the belt the Extreme Championship. Abyss defeated both D. Brian Kendrick and Frankie the Future Kazarian. Crimson's Samoa Joe Goldberg-like streak continues after, oh yeah, he beat Samoa Joe. Your Knockouts champion, Mickey James, defeated Angelina Love minus the Pharmaceuticals. In a last man standing match, Bully Ray defeated AJ Styles, and oh boy, we'll talk about that one in a minute. And to close out the show, instead of your world championship match, you had the number one contender match close out the show, where you now have the Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle as your number one contender defeating Jeff Jarrett. So I want to pass it to Jamal first. Are you in agreement a little bit with Anderson should have never lost the strap, but it's nice for him to finally get it back?
That's tough. I will say the way that it's been going, yes, I completely agree that he should have kept it the entire time. Sting, God bless him. I totally respect his legacy. It's that whole feeling of they keep repeating the past and they haven't left that mistake yet for whatever reason.
All right, now Spug and Mace had their say on WrestleTalk Radio, but we'll let them have it again here. I felt it was a three count. You guys feel it was a two count. Mace, having been a referee, for fans that are looking at me going, dude, that wasn't three. If you could, if you were the official in the ring that Eric Bischoff's son, which is on stage, not his son, explain what happened for the fans that did not see it.
Basically, the referee only counted twice. Mind you, the second count out of the three that Sting heard was Eric Bischoff himself. If I remember the rules correctly, it's only the referee in charge of the match that can make an official three count. Therefore, the count that Bischoff made does not make any difference, because guess what? The referee was still in control of the match. The referee was able to do his job, so it is technically a two count. As much as Alan wants to go, well, their last name's a Bischoff, well...
I was expecting the new Nick Patrick NWO referee gimmick maybe coming soon to an arena near you. We talked about it on Wrestle Talk Radio, and I definitely want to bring it up here again for the fans who may not listen to the show. And if you don't, please do. It's a great program each and every Sunday. The Last Man Standing match, I felt, and I think Spug felt that way, was, up until the closing moments, was one of the best told matches. It had a great storyline going for it. And, of course, one of the craziest things you'll ever see in any promotion of AJ once proving again, yes, you can climb, dude, and boy, you can land. But that ending, once again, Spug, just, I can't shake that. I'm just sitting there going, why, man, why? Why end it that way? Why not take it to Destination X and do Elevation X, like I mentioned? Your thoughts on the way the Bully Ray AJ Styles match ended? That would be to you, the gentleman of Ohio.
Unmute your microphone.
Okay, well, I'll pass it to you, Mace. I mean, you were also in agreement of the same situation. No, great match. Crap ending. Would you have, initially, when you saw that, were you sitting there scratching your head, making Cornette face, or were you just sitting there going, yeah, I expect that from TNA now?
I would Cornette face, mainly because I always look for a good opportunity to do Cornette face. But, yeah, I still hold by this opinion of when the dive happened, with the impact that AJ Styles had on Bully Ray, it should have been a double count out. Let's move on to next month. But supposedly hosts of other shows who believe that they're holier than thou, yet can't even get, ex-TNA talent turned porn stars to actually show up to their interviews, believe, I'm wrong. So,
Have you witnessed, Jamal, the Elevation X match that AJ and Rhino had a few years ago?
Yes, I remember that.
Would you have liked to have seen it go to Bully Ray and AJ at, I mean, you're already going to do Ultimate X at Destination X, so right. Why not just throw, that's a feud ender. If you don't put them in Six Sides of Steel, put them in that.
Electrified Six Sides of Steel.
They're introducing logic, though, to the conversation. That's the problem. You can't use logic when dealing with TNA.
I'm back. I'm sorry.
We appreciate that.
It's my stepdad, dude. It's my stepdad's 50th birthday. I had to go give him his card.
Oh. Well, happy birthday, stepdad. We'll make the rounds with birthdays and everything else. Oh, goodness, that's what was
No, but
tonight.
I just saw your message. It said, did I lose him, Spug? Oh, Spug, where are you? Hey, what'd you want?
I thought you maybe stepped away, and you didn't mention it, so it's fine.
Hey, Spug.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Spug.
Art thou bored?
No, I'm not bored. I just had to give him his card.
Oh, yeah, we get to address that in a moment here, this from the spoilers that'll air on the 23rd. Are you in agreement on the ending of the Bully Ray AJ Styles match happened to be one of the dumber things that we've seen in recent history?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Oh, look at that. Our friend Shima Zion was involved in the TNA event. That's pretty cool. Good for him. On this show, as mentioned, some good stuff, some bad stuff. Once again, Mickey James, Angelina Love, Botchamania, coming soon to a DVD plant near you. I don't know. Oh, that's the one for this week. Thank you. So, already announced, Destination X, July 10th, you will get Kurt Angle versus Mr. Anderson for the heavyweight championship. We will have Ultimate X. Who will be in it is going to be interesting. I believe they're supposed to have some triple threat matches to set this up. They already teased in the pay-per-view bumper that some of your favorites from the past will be back. If you're a fan of Kid Cash on his Facebook page, he mentioned Orlando Bound. And I was like, yes! Bring back the man who did one radio show and destroyed himself. Ooh, okay, that's
interesting. You can't forget the other man. Good old Austin Starr.
Evans. Yeah. Yeah, there's been some feeling that Austin Aries may be back. You never know. Jimmy Ray may be back. You never know what's coming. One of the other things that's been announced already, and this one's interesting, that starting this Thursday, they're going to have something known as the Bound for Glory series. There are going to be 12 superstars participating in ongoing competition, all leading to the pay-per-view.
All leading to the Bound for Glory pay-per-view in October?
Yeah, they're already going to be doing something to get them to Bound for Glory in October.
What retards?
As an online exclusive, the first three participants in this series are Rob Van Dam, AJ Styles, and Gunner. And the press release tells you to tune in to Impact Wrestling this week to find that out.
Why are they pushing Gunner? Why?
Not 100% sure on that one. Apparently, after inserting foot and mouth through the social networking, both Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan made the following after last night's Impact taping. This is from Mr. Bischoff. Saw some magic last night at the Impact tapings in Orlando. Saw fire, certain talent that I haven't seen in years. Announced team was on the money. Slowly but surely, we are going to get there. And of course, our friend Mr. Hogan himself, Terry Bollea, does have a real Twitter account. Said Sting is really turning it up. Worked with him in a situation last night, and I saw something coming from him I've never seen before. He's on HH. Interesting. Where can I don't understand the guy, man, but he claimed somebody hacked his thing. He doesn't know social media stuff. I want to ask Kevin this, because he's been in and out since 2003. He's been in, he's been out, he's been back, he's been out. He's in his 50s now. How much life does Sting have in TNA wrestling, in your mind?
I don't think he had enough to last this far, to be quite honest. I mean, I know he can still go to an extent. I know that the fans still want to see him. He still gets, you know, that pop when he comes out. Really, what the only two possible things he could have done, at, you know, from the past year or so, was a program with Ric Flair and some crazy kind of program with Hulk Hogan, and I don't want to see either one of them.
Would you like to see, before he goes off to his Olympic thing, which we'll talk about in a second, would you like to see a Kurt Angle Sting even one time? One last time?
Someone just
brought it up in a room.
Compared to whatever thing else they're throwing out there, that's something I maybe would have some interest in seeing. But overall picture, no. Like, as you said, he's in his 50s. It's definitely a decade, if not more, past his prime. Let's be honest, when he first came to TNA, he was already past his prime. It's so depressing, especially with the very best of Nitro DVD that just came out. I was checking that out the other day, and it was sad. It was sad to watch this where, obviously, you know, the first segment, I mean, you have Luger, Sting, Hogan, Macho Man's in there, And you're just watching this, and you're like, how the hell are some of these guys still wrestling today?
Yeah.
Hey, come on. It's good to see that they at least opened the match, well, the DVD, with a very, very good match. Liger versus Pillman. I'm quite happy to see that once again.
Excellent.
I have the question. I realize that they're no longer having those inserts because of environmental reasons. How the hell are you supposed to know what's on the DVD?
You go to a website and you download it? I don't know. Wait, there's really no booklet in this DVD set?
No,
that's interesting.
Whatsoever. I mean, I guess you can scroll through the menu for a while, but it's like, you know, it'd be so much easier to let me know exactly what's on any of the three discs in the package.
Mm.
That'd be kind of nice.
Yeah. We've seen the spoilers for the next 2 weeks of Impact Wrestling and know that he is going to be sticking around for a little while, but the Spug... I pose the same question I did with Kevin. Does Sting stay through 2011 and vanish, or what could you do if you were creative with Sting? Because he's been kind of a tweener with the Main Event Mafia.
I really wish he'd go away. I am gonna pick up the Paul Heyman banner here at this moment in time and carry it through to the end.
Watch out, he's got an axe.
When Heyman said, anyone over 40, getting their head chopped. I'm in agreement. You don't need Sting on TV. You don't need Ric Flair on TV. You don't need Hulk Hogan on TV. You don't need these guys. You don't. And Sting as a world heavyweight champion was a sham. It was an absolute fucking joke. And while I respect the hell out of Sting and everything he's done for the wrestling business, and I respect, you know, his ability to still go at his age, I'm sorry, but you legitimately took the spotlight from an individual who had just won the title. And I'm glad it's back around Anderson's waist. I don't want to see Sting out there. I wish he'd go away.
Your thoughts on that one, Mace? Do you think it's time for Mr. Sting to head to a Hall of Fame somewhere?
Yeah, most definitely. Send him out to pasture, pretty much.
Yeah, something has come up through the interwebs recently. And it would be something that made me laugh. I know Sir Rockin laughed too when he saw this. If you live in the Orlando area, June 29th, you want to be at Universal Studios for the debut of All Wheels Wrestling. Let me get the press release out, get it out of the way here. This made-for-television event will appeal to both the wrestling fans and motorsports enthusiasts alike. They ask you to come witness the high-flying moves of some of the greatest pro wrestlers in the world as they battle it out in front of a ring, out in a ring in front of a live audience. Doors open 6:30, taping begins at 7. This is a non-ticketed event, and seating is first come, first serve. It is recommended you arrive an hour prior. No video, no audio of any kind. Oh yeah, it's being taped at Universal Studios Soundstage 21. Our friends over at Pro Wrestling Insider say that the trademark and web domain for All Wheels Wrestling are owned by different subsidiaries of TNA. I believe Speed is the TV channel that's involved here, and this may be a pilot taping of some kind, but does this just make you go, huh? I mean, does this work for you, Kevin? We're gonna have wrestling and cars or bikes or stuff like that.
I always love when they try to think out the box and just. I don't know. That's really no appeal to me whatsoever. I mean, granted, the motorsports side of things I wouldn't care about in the first place. And let's be honest, the wrestling side of things I probably wouldn't care about either. But how about you focus on TNA wrestling? put the sideshows aside when you actually have something to build upon. It's stick with your first thing first and then, you know, build towards something else later.
And does this just make, I know you've made Cornette face for other stuff, Mace, but just hearing something like this, I'm baffled.
Sorry, what are we talking about again?
All-Wheels Wrestling event that's going to be taking place at the end of June. It's apparently a pilot of some kind that they're going to be launching.
Okay.
Is this TNA doing it?
They're apparently rumored to be tied into it somehow.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's their soundstage, but Universal in the end owns the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. And it's just like, as Mace just said, I don't know either one of you feel about it, but it's like, as Kevin just said, you know, fix your own damn product instead of, you know, could this eventually be their version of Thunder, or are they trying to get a new demographic here? When you first hear this, as a casual fan, what's your initial thoughts, Bug?
I don't understand why they're venturing out and expanding when their product here is failing. It's failing. And Bischoff can trot out all the quarter hour numbers he wants. My 5-year-old with 15 minutes of TV time could dance, could do the caramel dancing and you know, draw more than TNA. It's just, you don't need to venture out and do stupid shit like this when you have a shit product to begin with. You just don't.
Yeah, it's one of those, Mace, that it's just like, enough's enough. Somebody seriously, you know, can we cut the purse strings somewhere? Bischoff's, Russo's been claiming, I want to do stuff, but other stuff. I don't want to get burned out. Does this almost reek of Vinnie Roo?
I can tell you what it reeks like. It reeks like a pile of shit. And as you're explaining it to me, all I'm hearing is toilet flushing.
Yeah, don't sugarcoat your feelings, please.
Oh, fuck there.
Definitely vent. It's good to let loose. One note I want to throw out here. TNA has reportedly signed second-generation star Dakota Darso to a contract. Darso was a member of WWE Developmental from 08-09. If the last name sounds familiar, that is because he is the son of former WWE World Tag Team Champion Barry Darso, who worked as Crusher Khrushchev in the Mid-Atlantic, and also Demolition Smash, and the Repo Man himself. Darso actually worked a dark match before the Impact tapings at the end of May, working in a gentleman known as Jesse Sorensen. So some new blood being brought in. What will be done with it? I don't know. We're going to actually wrap early tonight. As I mentioned, Jessica Havoc had a family emergency, so she will not be with us, as you noticed. She will be here next week, along with Allison Danger. Jessica Havoc's opponent, Alicia, can be found last week's archive. Allison Danger will be taking on Cindy Rogers at the iPay-per-view, which... go to WSUWrestling.com for all the information on that one. We may possibly have another Ring of Honor guest this coming week. I'm trying to work on that one. We do have a very large guest booked for the 28th, but however, due to certain reasons, I can't reveal who it is yet. But
is it Chris Benoit?
No, not. How am I going to bring somebody right?
Wait,
we made it a Ouija board. Why not? Will Ouija board it?
If we're going to do that, then I'd rather get Eddie Guerrero.
It's okay, Mace. They were supposed to tap out.
Wow.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. Yes. Once again, send your comments to Spug at wildtalkradio.com. Here's there. Thanks to Scott Fishman for being on this program. Thanks to Brian Shields, Kevin Scott for being here. Spug and Mace, as always, are here. They are a part of a show known as OTL, which is tomorrow, 9 Eastern. Good news, nobody has died yet, or at least we don't know of. Tonight, I think, was the actual opening of the Spider-Man Broadway show, Take 2.
Yes, and there's a 5-minute preview video out there if you can go and have a look for it. I actually have to discuss with Spug off air something about tomorrow's show. But yeah, if anybody wants to find out what we're going to say before we say it, go to toplessrobot.com, and there is a link on there to the 5-minute preview of the Spider-Man musical and a very funny Sesame Street parody of it. So go there, really? Watch videos, join us in talkings.
Oh, really? That's interesting. This Saturday is a Strike Force event, the Showtime mixed martial arts event. Will you gentlemen be covering that?
It's owned by UFC. We're going to watch it. I don't know if we're going to go live, though.
Okay. CB Radio is midnight-ish with Subway, The Godfather, Rob Parks, and Sir Rockin'. Check back to Russ Talk Radio, Wild Talk Radio on Twitter and also on Facebook. They will mention that. We will be back. I will be back, I believe, with the Russ Talk Radio gentlemen, 11 p.m. Eastern after Capital Punishment. So join us for that one. And as mentioned, next week, Jessica Havoc, Alice in Danger. And I always end with a great song, and Baz Luhrmann's William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet had this song involved with it. Number one crush taking us out here on All I Will of Wrestling Radio. Have a good evening. Tell me that you're mine.